for our brothers and sisters in many places around Africa who are worshiping the Lord today. And I want Jules to help me because I want to help have him introduce. We have some brothers in the back. Will you stand? And Jules will introduce these young men. I just met this morning, and they have come from Africa and are new residents of our city in St. Louis. So Jules has been visiting them in their home and helping them get used to living here. And will you just introduce them so that we can know who they are?
Okay. These are the brothers from Congo, but they live in Tanzania for 9 years in a refugee camp. So the all three, the left one is Eric. The middle one is Merci, which means like thank you. And the other one is Mutula. So they're all from Congo, but they live together in Tanzania, and they become very good friends. So I think that's it.
Yes. Welcome. We are glad you are here. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And if you can imagine coming to a new city that's totally different, there would be a lot of things that would be maybe scary or unusual. And to have friends to help you would make all the difference. If you have time in the next weeks to get to know these guys and to help them, please see Jules or see me. We'd love to connect you more. So, all right. Also want to introduce some new friends that I have here in the front row. So David and Isabel and Valerie Lecomte, would you stand a minute? So they come from France, and Valerie will actually be here all summer. She's come from France. She's going to school in Canada. And for the summer, she's been sent to St. Louis as a missionary, a missionary to my family. She's living with us, and she will be teaching Aaliyah some French, maybe, and Aaliyah can teach her some English. But she's also going to be helping all summer with the summer work crews and with the children's program, the summer tutoring program. So I want you just to welcome this family. Amen. And you may be seated, but David, if you would come up. David is preparing to become a pastor and start a new church in France. And I've asked him just to bring a short greeting from our brothers and sisters in France and maybe a word of what God is doing. And so good to know you, brother. We've enjoyed so much time the last two or three days. So,
thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Greetings to all of you. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, it's so gorgeous to see the love of Christ all over the world. You know, I have no family anymore except for my wife and kids. All my parents, grandparents are dead. And it's amazing to see a large family we've got in Christ all over the world. And Kevin and Stephanie has really loving hosting us. We are connected through, I don't know if you know them, Tim and Katie Rice. For those who know them, we are language partner with them, and they connected to Kevin and Stephanie, and they've accepted very kindly, very openly, and the children as well to host Valerie for the whole summer. It's great to have brothers and sisters all over the world. Thank you, Lord. I want also to thank Matt and Abigail Miller. Can you stand up, please? They've accepted to host us during the week while we're staying. Thank you so much. They opened their home for us like we were family, and it's gorgeous. I want to thank you so much. We are part of the Assembly of God in France, and we are really enjoying love's grace all over the place in France. Unlike you guys, we have just two churches in our city. So there's just the Brethren and just the Assembly of God. But all together, we rejoice when we fellowship. And we rejoice to be fellowship with you guys for this week. Thank you for your hosting. Thank you for your loving. And may you be blessed in Christ.
Would you just pray as we prepare to look at God's Word together this morning?
Thank you.
English, French, maybe a little of both for those who speak French.
D'accord.
Yeah.
Merci Père éternel et tout-puissant pour ton amour et ta grâce. Merci Seigneur pour ta parole. Ta parole est parole de vie, parole de lumière. Seigneur, je te prie de mettre une onction particulière sur mon frère Kevin pour qu'il puisse parler de ta part, Seigneur. Prépare les cœurs à recevoir une parole de ta part et que toute ta volonté soit faite dans le nom de Jésus-Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your mercy, for your love, for your grace. I pray for Kevin that you give him some powerful anointing so that he can speak from you, Lord. And please prepare our heart to receive a word from you. And may you be in our heart all days, all along, all our life. Thank you for your grace, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. David and Isabel will be here till maybe Thursday or Friday, something like that. So if you would like to visit with them, if you'd like to hear more about what God is doing in France, or if you'd like to just have them over for a meal or something, here they are, and we can put you in touch with them as well. So, all right. We want to look at God's Word this morning, and we finished the book of Philippians just in the last week or two, and have felt that what we want to do over the coming weeks is look at some different topics together in the Word of God. And so, that's okay. I will preach today, and then Daniel and Greg and others, kind of into the summer here, just on things that as we've been walking together as God's people, God's been putting on our hearts. It's come up in conversations. And today I want us to look just briefly again at this call that we have to be the united people of God. One family, as we've been singing about, our call to worship this morning, our songs this morning, the testimonies, brothers and sisters coming from Congo, and we were with the Burmese in house church last night. But not only that, young and old and men and women and people who are coming from different giftings and backgrounds. How do we walk together as the one family of God? And as Adina already mentioned, we've got adult and youth Sunday school in the next few weeks that's going to give us an opportunity to talk about these things. I would very much encourage you to come out at 9 o'clock, if you can, for the next few weeks. And Brandon Brooks and Randy and April Murphy and Justin Semahoro and some others will be leading us in those times. So I think we all know who have lived here that in our country, in the United States, the church is very often divided. Not just along lines of what we believe theologically, but very often divided along ethnic lines, white and black and Asian and Latino, and also very often divided along lines of age. You have churches that are filled with young people. Of course, lots of babies here. But sometimes churches that desperately need to have more older saints to walk with them. And sometimes churches that are longing for young people to join in their fellowship. And I was talking with David earlier, and as he said, in France, which has a much lower percentage of Christians, they have two churches. And so one of the results of that in a very good way is that you don't have a church that somebody's drawn to just because they have the best nursery in the whole city. You know, and then somebody else says, well, this is the music that I really want, so I'll go here. Or this church has this style of preaching, so I'll go here. No, the brothers and sisters come together, young and old, different cultures, because there are only two churches. And so in a good way, it presses believers together within the family. And I believe one of the weaknesses of our church in this day that we live in this country, in the United States, is that we so often separate along so many different lines. And it really it puts us in a position of being weaker and more handicapped as the people of God. But we pray our Father with God's people around the world. Even that prayer is a recognition that we are part of the same family, adopted by God's grace. And so what I want to do is just remind us of our calling is to live out the grace of God as children of God together as His united people from different ethnic groups and from different cultural backgrounds. Since we are God's people, we must walk together. We have the privilege, the joy to walk together. We are strengthened as we walk together as the multi-ethnic and the multicultural family of God. I want to just unpack a couple of these words. So when I say multi-ethnic, maybe it's a little more clear that we come from Africa. We come from Burma. We are white American, African American. We maybe speak different languages. And we need each other. But we also come from different cultures. And I don't know if you've thought about this, but you could have two people who grew up speaking English in the United States, who are as white as I am, who come from very different cultures. And some of the cultures that shape us are things like our education, where we got it and how much we have, our economic status, rich or poor, our age, young or old, our gender, men and women. And we desperately need, brothers and sisters, we need one another in these areas of our difference if we're going to be the family of God that He wants us to be. As I said, I've had a number of conversations with people about these things, and we do preach on it pretty regularly, but I felt like it's a good time to remind us of our vision as a church, this beautiful vision of God, being together as His people, because being united is a beautiful vision, and it's not just our vision, it's God's vision. But also this morning, I want to speak to the difficulty of this vision, all right? Every one of you live in some sort of biological or adopted nuclear family, right? And hopefully for most of you, it's good. But I know for all of you, it can be difficult as well. It's the same with the church and the people of God. So we want to be God's people together as members of His multi-ethnic and multicultural family because it's God's beautiful vision, but also we want to be together when walking together is a difficult journey of discipleship. I want us to think this morning about what God does along the way, even when it's difficult. And then I want us just to be reminded at the end that this unity that we have is ultimately inevitable, because we know where God is taking us. So I want to just unpack some of these things together. And first, I want to talk about this beautiful vision of being united as the people of God from different ethnic groups, rich and poor, young and old, educated, not so educated. Being united in a world that is so divided. In a world that is so divided. Our region, and for those of you who are new to St. Louis, you maybe haven't seen this, but you'll learn it sooner or later. Our region is incredibly divided. So if I say North County, and you've been here for a while, you immediately have something that comes to your mind. A certain ethnic group, a certain economic status. And then if I just change one word and I say West County, it's a whole different group, right? Different color, generally. Different economic status. Different schools that are available for the people who live there. And then if we just go around and I say South County, you've got another picture in your mind, right? We're incredibly divided as a region. Now, the schools that we go to, if you are here in St. Louis and I say Roosevelt High School. What? Something comes to mind, right? Now, if you know St. Louis and I say Ladue High School, or I say CBC, or Westminster, something else comes to your mind, right? We are very divided in our region. In St. Louis, in your workplace, you might have people who come together across these divisions to get a job done, if you work in a school or a hotel or a hospital or some other business. But if you do that, my guess is that you observe that even though you might work together, it's very rare that people form real deep relationships and actually spend time getting to know one another outside of the work environment. We're a divided region. Of course, we're in a divided world. So many people continue to come to St. Louis every year, and one of the main reasons is because of division in other parts of the world, in Iraq and Iran and Syria and all throughout Africa. And those divisions are most of the time related to ethnic tension and warfare and strife. We're in a region and in a city and in a world that is deeply divided. And I want to ask you, what if there was a place in this world that people could look to and say, that's a beautiful picture of people coming together and getting to know one another and love one another and share their lives together from different languages and different ethnic groups and rich and poor and educated and not educated and even young people who love being around old people and old people who celebrate the kids who are screaming and going to the nursery. You see, that is God's vision for us as the people of God. That we would be a picture in a world that is so divided of God's family that is united together. This vision is so clear throughout the entire Word of God. I want to just point you to a few scripture passages, but literally there are hundreds and thousands that show the heart of God for this vision. But if we look at some, just think about this. Genesis 1:1, at the very beginning of God's story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not just people like you, not just people like me, the whole world. God, it says in Psalm 24, just a couple down there, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. What's so radical is this word, Genesis 1, was given at a time when all of the other cultures believed that their God was their tribal God, the God of their people. And He was for them and against everyone else. The God who created the heavens and earth, our God, is the God of all people, everywhere. He gives instruction in Deuteronomy 10, love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in Egypt. Welcome in those who are struggling, those who are wandering, those who are displaced. Bring them into your family because that was you. Apart from God, that is all of us. And God welcomes us into His family. So the church fundamentally must be a place that welcomes people and especially a place that welcomes those who are vulnerable. And those who are different. That's the picture of the church. Psalm 117 says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love toward us. And then the next slide here, we see the very heart of Jesus in this prayer in John 17. He prays for us that we would be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they may also be in us. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus' prayer for us is that we would be one. I mentioned before the very prayer that we pray that Jesus taught us, our Father. You know, I came across a prayer this past week on something online, and it was somebody who had kind of put the Lord's Prayer in a modern version, and their goal, their desire was to personalize it and sort of make it apply to them in ways that they thought would be helpful. But as I read it, I was shocked. because they had taken out all of the hours. He said, "My Father." No, we lose something when we do that, church. Our Father. The prayer said, "Give me today all that I need." No! Give us this day our daily bread. The prayer said, "Help me not to be tempted." No, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. We are together the people of God, our Father, who art in heaven. This is a quick overview of Scripture, if you haven't noticed. We're now in Acts. And one of the beautiful things in Acts is that we see this place called Antioch. And one of the things that Antioch was known for is the believers from lots of different ethnic groups, North Africa and throughout the Middle East in different places, were gathered together, and there were people from different ethnic groups, and they were one church together. And that's the place where the church, the believers, the followers of Jesus, were first called Christians. I don't know if you've thought about why, but the reason is they couldn't call them Jews. They couldn't call them Gentiles. They were together. They had to make up a new word, and they called them Christians because they're one family together. Paul gives us this picture, and Gary talked about it last week in his sermon in 1 Corinthians 12. Just as the body has many members, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are one body, are many, though they are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and we're all made to drink the one spirit. Different ethnic groups, rich and poor, together in one family. And I want to read, it's in your bulletin now, if you'd like to read in your bulletin, but it's also going to be on the screen. I want to read how Paul ties this into the beautiful work of Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 2. I want to just invite you to let this word encourage and strengthen you, and also show you what God has done, not only in forgiving our sins personally, but in making us a family together because of Jesus. Here's what Paul says. He says, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off," that was us, "we were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man," one new person, "in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near. For through him we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens." Say that, fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. No longer strangers. No longer aliens. And if you are here this morning and you feel alone, if you are here this morning and you feel like you are on your own, if you are here this morning and you long for a place where you could be with God and His people, the work of Jesus Christ is for you, to bring you into His family. We'd love to see that happen. "We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together." Say that, built together. Fellow citizens built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. God's purpose and His plan is for us to be united in one family. As a local church, New City South, we want to be shaped by God's vision. We want to follow Jesus Christ, and we want to be united under our one head, our one Father God. Not to be separated off and divided, because we believe that this is a great picture for the world, but also it's for our own good. We need it to grow in love for one another. It's a beautiful vision. Do you long to see this realized more fully in this world? Amen. Amen. This is central to our mission and our vision because we believe it's the heart of God. But you know something, church? It's not easy. It's actually incredibly difficult, isn't it? It's incredibly difficult. Walking together is, let me encourage you and just suggest to you, it is a difficult journey of discipleship. And sometimes I think here in our church, we maybe have done a better job about talking about the vision than about the reality of how difficult it is. I want to think this morning a little bit about some of the challenges of actually trying to love one another as His family. I want to just ask you, do you ever want to give up on the church? Somebody said yes. Huh? There's more than one of you out there. I'm here with you. Because sometimes I just think life would be easier if I was on my own. Do you ever want to give up on a church that has a stated mission and vision of pursuing reconciliation and unity with different ethnic groups? Huh? Because it's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. One of the challenges is that we see this vision, and because it's God's vision, something within our heart says, yes, it's good, and we're drawn to it. But I think most of us here have had this experience where after some time, and it might be some weeks or months or years, we find that the gap between the vision and the reality is so big. And we can come together on Sunday morning, but still feel like there are so many barriers between us. And for those of us who have this great vision and these ideals, and then we see the reality, we can become discouraged, right? We can sometimes become cynical. We can just want to give up on it altogether. There's an elder at our other site named Darwin White, and he's helped me with this. He has a phrase that he says quite often, and he says, this goal of unity and reconciliation is more than a notion. It's more than a notion. It's more than just an idea. As an African-American brother, he says that because he knows it requires commitment and work and time and energy together. We struggle because of this gap between the ideal and the reality, but we also struggle because if we're honest, can we be honest? If we're honest, we all, in some ways, would prefer to spend our time around people who are just like us. Right? And so we love the vision of being in a multi-ethnic, united, young and old, rich and poor, educated, not educated, different language groups. But when it comes right down to it, it's uncomfortable. Singing in other languages requires effort. Worshiping with a style of music that's maybe not my first preference is difficult sometimes. For some of you, walking with somebody who's from a different generation and has some different ideas is a challenge. Of course, if you're not an English speaker, and we try to speak some different languages here, but it's almost all English, right? If you're not an English speaker, I say thank you for your perseverance in our fellowship. Because I know it makes you tired. I was talking just with Valerie. Of course, she knows some English, but she's learning some more. And just being in a culture where everything you hear is a different language than your first language is exhausting, right? It's hard. It's difficult. I was having some conversations, a number of them over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and not just, of course, in relation to language, but different generations within our church. And you might see this in your community groups or other friendships, but some of this was by email, some of this was in coffee shops, and honestly, I had some interaction with somebody who's at least a generation older than me, and he had a perspective on some things in the church and in our culture that was just challenging for me. I had a hard time understanding it, and really, I just wanted to say, you're wrong. And then I got together with somebody who's maybe not quite a whole generation, but younger than me, because I'm kind of in the middle, right? And I felt the same way. I was like, I'm having a hard time understanding where you're coming from here. And there's a part of me that would just love to hang out with people who are easy to relate to. And what do I mean by that? What do I mean by that, Randy? They're just like me. Yeah. You know, we don't have to do that hard work of trying to get along and understand each other because it's difficult. The fact is, we are finite, we are broken, we are sinful, we are weak. And our temptation sometimes is to just give up and go our own way. Being part of any church will be messy and difficult. Being part of a church that's pursuing reconciliation and unity will be messy and difficult. Here's the really good news. Actually, I want to encourage you with this. It was very messy and difficult for the early church as well. Does it help to know that? Sometimes we think, okay, it's never been like this before. I want to just now, in this part of the sermon, look a little bit about some things going on in the early church. So I want to remind you of a story, and then I want to look at some verses in Galatians. But the story is this. It's in the early part of Acts when Peter has this vision of a sheet that's coming down from heaven. And I don't know if you remember this. Peter, of course, had grown up as a devout Jewish man. And part of that, there were rules and there were laws about food that he could eat and could not eat. And he sees this sheet coming down from heaven. And on the sheet, there are all different types of animals. Could you ever think? That's what a crazy vision. But they're unclean animals. They're the types of animals that the people of God are not supposed to eat. And he hears God say to him, "Rise, Peter. Take and eat." And he says, "Surely not. How could I do that, God? How could I ever eat what you have called unclean?" And the voice that he hears back says, "Do not call anything unclean that God has made clean." And he's at this place, the home of Simon the Tanner. Now, that's a guy who's, you know, dealing with unclean, messy, bloody animals all the time. And the point of what God is doing is he's showing Peter here that the gospel is good news for all nations. And you should not exclude any of those that God is welcoming into his family. And you should not require them to go through these cultural customs that you have grown up with. God welcomes them and you must also welcome them. And it's a beautiful part in the book of Acts because we see the church growing and expanding. And that leads right into Antioch, where we've got this diverse church from many different languages, many different nations. They're called Christians and it's beautiful. That's around AD 38. Not too long after Jesus died and rose again. Fast forward to 12 years later. Now, you would expect that in the early church, the Holy Spirit has been poured out at Pentecost. And you would expect that the church would be growing and progressing in all of these areas and becoming increasingly diverse in this beautiful picture of Jew and Gentile together. And then, around 12 years later, Paul writes Galatians 2. Let's look at it. It's in your bulletin, but you can also follow along behind me. And this is what he says when Cephas, that's Peter, right, comes to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. Sometimes it's messy to be in the church, right? I opposed him to his, And now he's writing about it. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, those are Jewish Christians who are coming from Jerusalem, certain men came, he was eating with the Gentiles. So he was hanging out, he was having meals, fellowshipping with those of a different ethnic group, eating food together, including most likely the Lord's Supper. One body, one family together. And then these Jewish believers come, and he separates himself. Paul says, when they came, he drew back, he separated himself, fearing the circumcision party, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that their conduct, get this, was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before all of them, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? This issue of separating yourself from another ethnic group within the body of Christ based on cultural customs and preferences is not, Paul says, living in line with the gospel. It's a gospel issue. Because the grace of God is for all of us to forgive our sins, yes, but to welcome us into one family together. How can we receive the grace of God that welcomes us and then keep another brother or sister away and not even take the Lord's Supper together? There's this great vision of unity, and 12 years later, they're still struggling. They're still wrestling. Peter himself, who had this vision, is acting in a way that makes his brothers and sisters in Christ feel as if they are second-class citizens and not welcome among the people of God. The focus of the Christian community then became cultural values rather than the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. Do you see that? It's difficult, people. It's difficult for us, and it was difficult for the early church. But what I want to say is that it's not only a difficult journey, I believe it's also a discipleship journey. And that at the very point of the challenge of being the united people of God together, that's the place where God wants to grow us and show us His love and help us to love one another. The very place where it's difficult, in the middle of the mess, when Paul has to oppose Peter to his face and write about it, that's where God is at work. In that place. I want to read another passage here from Ephesians about how we grow together as the body of Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 4, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Say that, grow up. Grow up, church. We are to grow up into every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, in whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. God's plan for us as His people is that we would grow up, that we would become more like Jesus. And two things that are very clear here, it only happens in the context of community and our relationships with one another, right? The whole body joined and held together. We grow up together. But we also grow up only because of Christ, who is our head, as we keep our heart and our eyes fixed on Him. I want to talk about this in relation to a couple of articles that I've read in the last few weeks. And they've been kind of helpful to me. One is written by someone named Christina Cleveland, and she's a leader in the church, and she wrote a short article called Reasons Why I Hate Diversity. Reasons why I hate diversity. And here's what she said. One is, diversity exposes my inner control freak. You ever have that experience where you're around people who are different from you? Maybe different culture, different age. And because of that, it's messy. She says diversity disrupts all of this awesome homogeneous bonding that we like to have because it's guesswork. It's ambiguity. It's unpredictability. You don't know what somebody's going to say or think. It's a challenge to those of us who want to be in control. She said, diversity exposes my desire for an easy breezy Christian life. Says, I want Jesus, this is her now, she says, I want Jesus to make me happy, build a mansion for me in heaven, and be my boyfriend in the meantime. She said, it's entirely vertical, but when I have to walk with you guys, it's messy. It's not easy. She also says that diversity exposes her privilege. Because when she's with other people, she's faced with the fact that, look what I have. And now what am I responsible for because of what God has given me? So she says, those are the reasons I hate diversity. And then she turns the corner in her article and she says, but Jesus. But Jesus. Jesus left his comfort for me. Jesus left his home and his culture with the Father and the Son in eternity forever. And he took on flesh and he dwelt among us and he came and he fellowshiped and he walked with difficult, different, broken, weak, struggling people for 30 years on earth. And he walked with the children and he walked with the women and the Samaritan and the outcast. And he spent time with them and he loved them and he came into this world to love you and to love me. And when I see Jesus, she said, when I see Jesus and I see what he's done for me, it changes me. It changes me. The love of God transforms me, she says, to help me to love others. I want to invite you this morning, if you're struggling in the church, but also if you're struggling in your home, in your family, in your workplace, to love somebody who is difficult to love, who's different from you, don't spend all of your time looking at that person, but actually look at Jesus. What has he done for you? Receive his grace. Be transformed by him. See the love of God in Jesus Christ. Let that shape your heart and change you. That is our only hope, people. There's one other article, though, that I found helpful. It's written by somebody named Corey Widmer, and it's about the church, and the title is this, Want to be Multi-Ethnic? Get ready for discomfort. Want to be multi-ethnic? Get ready for discomfort. And he and the other pastor in this church that's trying to be a multi-ethnic church said that they've come up with this rule called the 75% rule. And they said their goal as a church is that nobody would be comfortable more than 75% of the time. All right? Because of this, if you are comfortable more than 75% of the time, the very thing that is bringing you comfort is probably not making somebody else feel at home. And their point was this, that we love one another when we are willing to enter into places that are difficult and uncomfortable for the sake of the other. Because we are family. The church is not fundamentally, they say, about customers being happy with everything, but about the family of God loving one another. So do you see what's happening? These articles point out, and the Word of God points out, that the very place where it's difficult is the same place where we are discipled. When we look to Jesus and we seek to love one another, we grow up into that body that he wants us to be. And so many of you have taught me that. I cannot say thank you enough. Because you have been willing to walk with me. Justin, I don't know if Sarugo is here this morning. There he is. He led a great time this past Wednesday night for the men in the church talking about friendship. And there was just some wisdom there and some grace there. And Justin, we received from you because you've been willing to walk with us in a church that's not always easy. So thank you. Thank you, brother. I could go down the list again and again. But I need you. We need each other as the family of God. Just a little bit of practical help here in the end is I want to encourage you to let your basic frame of mind be shaped by the Word of God in relation to one another. And that is this, that we are family together. And so then when you see these areas of difficulty and challenge, you approach one another as brothers and sisters with kindness, with love, with commitment. Accept that differences, accept the fact that differences will be difficult at times. Look to Christ and seek to love one another. And along the way, let me very much encourage you to pray for one another. Have you ever had this where you're wrestling with somebody and you start to pray for them? What happens to your own heart? God does some surgery, doesn't He? And He makes us more like Jesus along the way. It's a beautiful vision. It's a difficult journey, but it's a journey of discipleship. And just to remind us, we know where this is going, right? Whatever happens to New City Fellowship, the future of the Church of Jesus Christ is absolutely guaranteed. Do you know that? John says in Revelation, "After I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, every tribe, all peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hand, and crying out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Our call as God's people is not to be a reflection of this world in which we live, but to be representatives of our eternal kingdom. Amen? It's not easy, but it's the very place where God wants to grow us up. Amen, church? Amen. All right. I want to pray, and then I want to ask Greg Perry to lead us in the Lord's table. Father, we come before you, and Lord, thank you for your patience with us and your love for us. Thank you that you did not remain in the place of comfort, but you entered into this world, suffered for us, died and rose again. Make us your people in a way that glorifies you, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, church. Let's make a circle and come to the Lord's table together.
This is the Lord's table, and it's a family table. It's a place where we come from different parts, different jobs, different giftings, different cultures, and yet we recognize that we need Jesus. We need the same bread. We need the same wine. We need the same forgiveness, but also we recognize that we need each other. As we look around the circle this morning, we make a circle because it's a circle of unity. It's unbroken. But we also make a circle so that we can see each other around the table. We can see different colored skin. We can see different ages, little ones and older ones. We have sung together in different languages this morning. But we've also heard God's word. A word that shapes us, a word that convicts us, and a word that also is good news that forgives us. This morning, if your only hope for being fully human, if your only hope for a sense of unity, if your only hope this morning for forgiveness is this bread, is this Jesus, is the one who invites you to this table, then this is your family table. This table is for you. If you're here as a guest this morning, as a friend of our church, and you're still investigating the claims of Christ, we are thrilled that you're here, and we look forward to talking to you and to continuing to get to know you better. And we would just ask you this morning if you would just allow the elements to pass, but as you do, see in them the offer of forgiveness, the offer of life, of sustenance, of real food that is from heaven, from the man who came from heaven to take on flesh. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this table. We thank you for leaving the comfort of those like you, your Father, your Spirit, and taking on flesh, coming into our world fully, our tears, our frustrations, our betrayals, our sins, and taking them on, that you might know us, that you might love us, that you might bring us back to yourself. Lord, we come this morning hungry, in need of strength for this difficult work of journeying together as different people with different languages and different needs and different giftings. And so we look to you for the nourishment and the strength that we need, and thank you that you invite us to your table, that you provide this table, that you give us the Word of God, that you give us the bread of life. You give us what we need for this difficult journey. Thank you for this bread and this wine. Set it aside for your nourishing purposes, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the work of discerning the body. Discerning the body. That we are different, that God isn't colorblind, and yet we are the same. We have the same need of bread, the same hunger, the same need of forgiveness. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Also, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he poured it out and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many. Drink all of it. As often as you drink this bread, as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's come to the Lord's table together.